What's up there, everybody? Welcome to your ear holes and welcome to another edition of the NFL Fantasy Football Podcast, where we'd never make you play on a bad angle. I'm Marcus Grant alongside Michael F. Florio. Producer Justin is at the controls. And welcome to, I guess, what you can consider the after party. I know it's week 18. I know folks are playing DFS. We will get into that. I know there are some of you psychos out there that are still playing season-long leagues. God bless you if you are one of those folks. But we will do our best to help you out as we get ready for the weekend slate of games. But Florio, I guess we should start with the news that hit like literally moments before we started recording this show. And that is that Antonio Brown has officially been released by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I don't really know what to say about this other than, I guess I've just been sort of watching this from afar with popcorn. I don't know if you have any deep insights other than it has been maybe the expected roller coaster ending to this partnership.
Yeah, I thought this was the one team that was going to make it work with AB. It looked like Tom Brady was the best PR rep in the business, making him look good again. And then this happened. From the text he put out, it sounds like he's pretty banged up right now. I don't think we see him again this year. He's saying business is going to be booming next year, though. So just another storyline for us to pay attention to all offseason and get the popcorn ready.
Get the popcorn ready, indeed. In case you somehow have missed all of this, Antonio Brown put out a statement on Wednesday night about his situation, basically telling his side of the story about why he was sent home or left the field or however you want to describe it. And you know what's funny about this? I'm not going to go through the whole statement. Basically, he says he was hurt. He says the coaches knew it. He says they basically forced him into the game and said, if you don't, then you're done. What I thought was funny about this, and a friend of mine pointed this out to me, somewhere in there, the Jets catch a stray. Like he's talking about his ankle injury and how he's so hurt and how they put drugs in him to try and numb the pain or what have you. But there's one line in there. He's like, and we were losing to the Jets. And that was really frustrating. And it's like, if I'm the Jets, I'm like, wait a minute. I had nothing to do with this. Why are you dragging us into that? That part was very, very funny to me. And then the Bucks made it official. They released him on Thursday morning and, they put out a statement of their own saying that they were not aware how hurt he was and so on and so forth. Whatever. People will debate this thing ad nauseum. I don't care. Let's bring on week 18. Let's bring on the playoffs and, whatever, the world will continue turning. Get into some news and notes real quick though, before we dive into the meat of the show, some big news, big-ish news, I guess, around the Cincinnati Bengals. Joe Burrow will not play against the Browns in Week 18. He's going to rest his knee, get ready for the playoffs with the Bengals already having locked up the AFC North Division, so not much for them to play for. Joe Mixon will not play as well. He tested positive for COVID-19, so he is out for that game against Cleveland. On the other side, Baker Mayfield has been ruled out. He's finally going to get surgery on that shoulder that has been bothering him all week long. Any interest in Case Keenum or Brandon Allen anywhere in fantasy this week?
No, I couldn't do it, especially because no Burrow, no Mixon. It wouldn't surprise me if we get a very limited Higgins and Chase. Maybe they don't even get in the game. Maybe they play, a drive or two. But I know on Monday, teams were all like, we're going to play our starters because that's what we're going to do. And it's like, no, you're not. You're all liars. And we're just seeing it as the week continues to unfold. So just keep an eye on that. And the Baker news, I'm more interested in, like, it came out today that, like, him and Stefanski aren't getting along and Baker may request a trade. To me, that is a storyline to pay attention to this offseason.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting because the Browns are sort of at a crossroads with Baker Mayfield where, he kind of is like a replacement level starter at this point. He's perfectly average in a lot of respects. So they got a decision to make, and it appears that Baker may not want to be there anymore himself, which, if he's going to do at home insurance commercials, I mean, where is home going to be for him next year? I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Become an actor if like this quarterback thing doesn't work out?
I mean, maybe. I mean, he's really entertaining.
he is. He's very good.
Whatever you think of him as a quarterback, he's actually an entertaining actor, at least in commercials. He'll be pushing Peyton Manning for commercial dominance sometime soon. More quarterback news. This in Minnesota. Mike Zimmer says Kirk Cousins will start on Sunday against the Bears. If I'm a Vikings fan, this feels a little bit like too little, too late. here we are. We've already been eliminated. It doesn't really matter at this point. Now Kirk Cousins is going to come back to play one final game this season. Okay, sure. and then in San Francisco, Jimmy Garoppolo returned to practice on a limited basis with his thumb injury. Big game for the 49ers this week in Los Angeles against the Rams. The Rams need a win to try and get that number two seed in the NFC. The Niners need a win to try and lock up a playoff spot. So this has a lot of meaning on both sides. Do you think we'll actually see Jimmy G, or is this going to be another Trey Lance showcase?
It's everything they're saying is like, if Jimmy G is able to suit up, he will be the starting quarterback. And I get why a little bit, like I think he's safer and you know a little bit more what you're going to get out of Jimmy G. But the last time we saw him, he cost the Niners the game. So Marcus, as like the Bay Area representative, do you want to see Jimmy G or Trey Lance? Because I think Trey Lance is a lot more exciting for their offense.
I want to see Trey Lance. You know, I want to see what he can do, especially in a pressure situation. I mean, this is absolutely crucial. I mean, look, I feel like we've seen the Jimmy Garoppolo movie. We sort of know how it ends. I think fans are sort of clamoring to see Trey Lance. And look, personally, if they put in Trey Lance and it doesn't work out, I can't really be upset about it. I think if we go back to the Garoppolo well and it doesn't work out, I think there's a little bit reason to be frustrated. I also say this because I plan on going to the game and I want to see Trey Lance in person. So selfishly for myself, I would love to see Trey Lance get the start. But knowing Kyle Shanahan, he's not going to tell us anything until pretty much right up until kickoff or something like that. So who really knows? All right. As we talked about, there are going to be teams that are resting players, which means you're probably going to have to find some alternatives, maybe find some streamers. I mean, look, I know, Flora, we've talked about this before, playing week 18, what once was week 17. It is sort of a dicey proposition because you never really know what to do or who's going to play. I don't know if you have any blanket advice to give people this week other than, my advice is just don't play week 18. But I don't know if you have any other deeper, more insightful advice to give folks about this week.
I agree. Do not play week 18 for seasonal leagues. I think it's fine to play in DFS because you could potentially get an edge, because I think there's going to be a lot of people who set their lineup and they're like Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams, like that's going to be a lot of fun, or the Cowboys, or like the Bengals. Like you might get people who are just throwing together lineups with players and names that they recognize. And if you're playing DFS and you're keeping up to date with the news, I think you get a little bit of an edge there. But in seasonal leagues where you don't have every player available to choose from, there's no way you should be playing in week 18.
I mean, I've always compared it to, like, imagine, a real NFL team gets to the Super Bowl and just arbitrarily Roger Goodell says, all right, well, you know what? Tom Brady's got to sit out this week. It doesn't make sense. It's frustrating. I feel like you're not playing three-dimensional chess. You're just hamstringing yourself for real reason.
And I'm seeing people on Twitter who are like, week 18, we're going to have starters resting. Good job, NFL. It's like, did you guys all forget what week 17 was every year before this? Like, it's the same thing.
Are you new here? This happens every single year. This is not a new thing. It has nothing to do with week 18. Whatever. But along those lines, just in case you are still playing seasonal, or maybe you're playing for total points in your league or something like that, I figured we should give you some streaming options. So we looked at quarterback, tight end, and defensive options for you to plug in that could help you at least compete this week if some of your regular starters are out. So let's start at the quarterback spot. Who do you feel like is a good streaming option?
I think Justin Fields is in a really good spot. The last time we saw Justin Fields, he was throwing for a season high yards against this Vikings defense that he's going to be playing. He's been running more as of late, and maybe this is me trying to read into it a little too much. It feels like the Vikings are kind of deflated and they don't have, like, they got eliminated last week on pretty bad situation. Like, and the Bears, on the other hand, like, Fields has something to prove. He wants to go into next year on a high note. So I could see the Vikings defense maybe being even a little bit easier to throw against than they already are. And they're in the top six in fantasy points allowed to quarterbacks. So I like Justin Fields as a streaming option this week.
Definitely like him this week. I also went with Taysom Hill, who I looked and he's only rostered in 16% of NFL.com leagues, which to me sort of blew my mind because I feel like we talk about him nearly every week. But I guess when I stepped back and sort of looked at it again, and you look at his uneven performances from week to week, I guess it makes a little bit more sense. So he's widely available across NFL.com. So you can go check it out. I mean, this is a situation for the Saints where they have to win in order to have a shot at the playoffs this year. That whole offense right now is pretty much just Taysom Hill and Alvin Kamara. It's a fairly good matchup against the Atlanta Falcons. Even if Hill doesn't throw the ball all that effectively, we know what he can do as a runner. Maybe he gets you a rushing touchdown or two. So if you are needing a quarterback, go take a look at the waiver wire, because he very well could be out there and he could be helpful for you this week. Over to tight ends, which, you know, people have probably been streaming tight ends all year long, so this is nothing new for a whole lot of people. But in case you're doing it one last time in the 2021-2022 season, who should you look for?
Yeah, streaming tight end is the thing I will miss least about fantasy football, other than setting waivers. But I think Austin Hooper is a solid streaming option this week. Since Odell has left, Austin Hooper's been good for about 5 targets and like 9 or 10 fantasy points a week, which isn't great. But if we're talking about a tight end, hey, it's a pretty safe floor he brings. Plus, with no Baker Mayfield this week, we've seen backup quarterbacks come in. And I know Case Keenum is not your typical backup, but we've seen them come in and really rely on like the short, safe targets of a tight end. So I just think if you're hoping for, you know, like somewhere in the range of 8 to 12 fantasy points, I think Austin Hooper can fit right into that range.
Man, I remember, you know, feeling like Austin Hooper was going to be a big thing when he got to Cleveland, and it hasn't quite worked out that way because they have so many tight ends. And they also have a quarterback that just doesn't spread the ball around all that much, but this could be a good week for him. I'm going to go with Jared Cook because, you know, he just keeps popping up into our lives every few weeks, it seems. Something tells me this Chargers-Raiders game could end up being kind of a high-scoring affair. You know, it means something for both of these teams, obviously. This is an elimination game, essentially. I love the running backs, you know, Josh Jacobs and Austin Eckler, but, you know, those guys are going to be rostered. But Jared Cook could still be out there because he's Jared Cook and people don't get excited about him. But the Raiders have been bad against tight ends all year long. We know Justin Herbert can support a number of pass catchers within a game. So, you know, again, it may not be a huge number, but if he can get you a few catches and maybe a touchdown, you could get a pretty decent streaming game out of Jared Cook. I know it's not exciting. I know people say Jared Cook and they're like, yeah, but you know, there's an option there for you. Defense. I had a harder time coming up with a defense to stream. Just the matchups weren't particularly great, but you know, we found a couple. Who do you have?
I definitely went with a little bit of low hanging fruit, but it's the Colts defense because they're playing the Jaguars. I mean, we saw what the Patriots did last week to the Jaguars, and Trevor Lawrence, I think the stat is he has 2 passing touchdowns in his last 9 games. Like, that is just awful. And there's no James Robinson now, so we know they're going to struggle passing the ball. We know they're going to struggle running the ball. This is a must-win game for the Colts. And the Colts get a lot of sacks and turnovers, and that leads to fantasy points. So I think if you're playing this week, not only are they a good streaming option, they might be the number one defense this week.
They very well could be the number one defense this week. I think the other drama in Jacksonville is, will the fans show up dressed like clowns? I don't know if you've seen that story floating around.
No, I haven't.
Oh, yeah. So apparently because, you know, they let go of Urban Meyer, obviously, a few weeks ago. But the fans also want Shad Khan to fire GM Trent Baalke. And so a number of fans have organized a protest where they're going to show up in clown costumes. In fact, I know that in the last week or so, a lot of Jaguar fans have been changing their avatars to clowns in protest of Trent Baalke not being let go. So I'm curious to see how many fans actually show up.
It's going to be terrifying for some people.
It's going to be really terrifying for a lot of people to see a stadium filled with clowns. So I'm very interested to see whether or not that actually happens. My streaming defense, and I'm going to admit that I don't really love this option, but I picked them because of who they're playing. It's the Washington football team because they get the Giants this week. And not only have the Giants been pretty roundly awful for a good portion of the season offensively, now they're starting Jake Fromm this week. You know, early in the season when these two teams played, I think Washington had, you know, their defense had 3 or 4 points. It wasn't anything spectacular. They were able to rack up a few sacks. Again, I know they haven't been great this year, but I'm sort of banking on the Giants being really bad and that Washington sort of backs into a few points here in this one. So Again, I didn't love a lot of the streaming options this week. There weren't a whole lot of good ones. A lot of the offenses that are bad were also playing against bad defenses. And this is another situation like that here. But I'm just banking on the Giants offense being so bad that Washington could put up a halfway decent fantasy number for you.
Safe bet. Defense.
Yeah. You know, exactly. I mean, you know what? Going against Jake Fromm, I feel like I like my chances a little bit. All right. We will get into some DFS stuff in just a little bit. Take a quick break and come back with more of the NFL Fantasy Football Podcast. All right. Of course, now a lot of folks still playing Daily Fantasy in this final week. That makes sense. So we figured we would go over some of the interesting things on both the Saturday and Sunday slate, which I guess, by the way, should remind you, there are two games on Saturday. The NFL is calling it the season finale, which I really want Saturday's games to start with like a little recap that says like previously on the NFL. Like that's what I really want. I don't think it's going to happen, but it'd be fun. So there's two games on Saturday, the rest of the games on Sunday, no Monday night games. Side note, are you old enough to remember when they played Monday night games in like the final week of the season?
Yes, but not very well.
So the reason they stopped doing it is because a lot of times, you know, they'd schedule out these Monday night games for the final week and you'd get to Monday night. And everything was pretty much locked up. All the playoff spots were locked up. Everybody knew where their seeds were going to be, and there was nothing to play for. So a lot of years, you would end up with a Monday night game in that final week that was basically a preseason game because teams didn't want to get anybody hurt. They had nothing to gain or lose from playing. And so, like, a lot of times it would end up looking like that last preseason game of the year. So the NFL sort of wised up, and they're like, maybe we should just put all the games on Sunday where we don't have to deal with this anymore. So that's why there are no Monday night games in the final week of the
season.
We
do get a Monday night playoff game this year, though.
We do. I forgot about that until a couple weeks ago. Somebody reminded me. I was like, oh, that's right. There is a Monday night game this year. So that'll be interesting. So, but anyway, we started with the Saturday slate with a couple of games. We have the Chiefs. I know we have the Cowboys and the Eagles, I think, is one of the games. The Chiefs and Broncos. Right, is the other game on Saturday. So, first off, the player on the Saturday slate that you feel like is worth paying up for is?
I think it's Darrell Williams because $5,900 is not super expensive, but it's looking like Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to sit again this week. And Williams just thrives whenever CEH sits. He averages close to 20 points per game. We saw what he did last week. Plus, with him not being the typical starter, I'm not sure they'll rest him like they would the others. So, and this is a game where I expect the Chiefs just to play their starters throughout because they still have a chance at the one seed. And I think they'll beat up on the Broncos, which could mean more running the ball in the second half. So I like Darrell Williams a lot this week.
Well, that's the reason that I have Travis Kelce as the guy to pay up for, because I know that on paper the matchup is not good, that the Broncos defensively have been pretty good most of the year and have been pretty good against tight ends. But the Chiefs, look, they don't have a direct path to the one seed. They have to win, and then they need the Titans to lose, but they do have a shot at it. And because they play on Saturday, they can sort of set the stage for this. So I expect we're going to see a lot of their starters play most of the game unless it really gets out of hand. And I think they're going to lean on their stars, which means we're going to see Mahomes throwing the ball to Kelce, to Tyreek Hill. We're going to see Darrell Williams get a lot of opportunity. So even though the matchup's not good, I think the situation lends itself to Kelce having a productive day. So I feel like, you know, at 7,000, it's worth plugging him in if you're going to play that Saturday slate, just because the Chiefs need him to actually do some things. Those are the guys with big salaries we're paying up for. Who's the guy with a big salary that you are trying to avoid?
I think it's Jalen Hurts, and this is nothing against Jalen Hurts. Like, I think he's awesome. I think he's one of the best breakout players of the year, but the Eagles already had their playoff spot secured. Yeah, maybe they could jump a spot in the seeding if the Niners were to lose to the Rams the next day, but I think for teams like this, like, they're viewing it as, like, we want our starters healthy next week. So I wouldn't be surprised if maybe we see Hurts play a little bit and then we see them move in and bring in Gardner Minshew to finish out the game. I also, I mean, the Cowboys defense has been very good as of late as well, and they've been really getting pressure on the quarterback, which just leads to another reason why they might just play it safe and say, we don't want Hurts taking any hits. Let's let him play maybe a drive or two, and then he sits. So I would just be avoiding the Eagles quarterback here.
Yeah, all signs have sort of pointed toward the Eagles not playing their guys. And I know that, you know, Nick Sirianni has been sort of coy about it, but I'd be surprised if we saw much or any of a lot of the Eagles starters here. I'm surprised you didn't take Ezekiel Elliott, so I'm going to take Ezekiel
Elliott. I considered it.
I'm sure you did. I felt like you were just maybe giving him a break because you sort of hammered him a lot the last few weeks. So I will pick up the hammer and I will continue that. You know, 6,700. First off, at least on paper, the matchup's not good. Again, we'll see how many starters for Philadelphia actually play. And I know Jerry Jones is saying that the Cowboys they're playing to win, that they're going to play their starters. I wonder if Mike McCarthy feels the same way, especially because, yeah, the Cowboys can maybe possibly move up, but a lot of things have to happen. And I just wonder whether or not it's worth sort of pushing the envelope in that situation to try and get the win. So I don't know how much of Ezekiel Elliott we will see. And even still, again, the matchup, again, on paper, not particularly great. It's 6,700. I think you can find some better running back options out there. So that's one I would probably stay away from this week. So if we're talking about big dollar players, we should probably talk about some of the value guys. Who is your value pick for the week?
I'm going with Cedric Wilson here at 4,200. And for a lot of the reasons that we were just talking about, if they're benching their starters, and I do think there's a really good chance the Cowboys sit CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper, especially after Michael Gallup had his season ended last year. They know their offense relies on those two receivers. If they sit those guys, Cedric Wilson becomes the default wide receiver one on the Dallas Cowboys at only 4,200. We know he could play. He showed us that last week. We also know he could throw a little bit. He could run. Maybe they get a trick play or two going for him. But I just think he could see a good amount of volume if Lamb and Cooper sit. So I would try to get him in at just 4,200.
Well, I will go Kenneth Gainwell at 4,100. Again, I mean, we're talking about guys sitting, and right now, pretty sure Miles Sanders is not going to play because of that hand injury. Jordan Howard is banged up. I think Boston Scott is questionable for the game as well. So it could be a situation where Gainwell might be the only option available for Philadelphia. So even if you don't like him against that Dallas defense, I think the potential for so much volume in a run-heavy offense makes him worth plugging in there. At 4,100, that gives you some flexibility, maybe to go big in some other spots. Again, if you want to go with, say, a Travis Kelce or a Darrell Williams, having a guy like Gainwell in there kind of gives you that flexibility to do something like that. So I think this is one for me where opportunity sort of trumps everything else. And if Gainwell is the guy, he should get the ball plenty on Saturday. That gets us to the Sunday slate. So we'll go through the same categories for all the games that we will see on Sunday. And there are a lot of them. Of all those guys, who is the big name player, the big salary player worth paying up for?
I mean, this isn't going to be a surprise to anyone, but I think it's Josh Allen. Like, Josh Allen is in a spot where the Bills need to win to clinch the division, and they want that. Like, Sean McDermott was on Good Morning Football today, earlier this week, saying, like, that is a goal for them since the start of the season, and now they have a chance to do it at home. I don't expect the starters to get benched in this one, at least unless it's ugly late, maybe then it does. But if it's a close game, I think the starters will be in there. Allen, we know he could throw all over the Jets. He's been running a whole lot lately. And Stephon Diggs' best game of the year came against the Jets. So I like kind of stacking those two if I'm playing on Sunday.
Well, I'm going to go Cooper Kupp, who I think is the most expensive player across DraftKings. It wouldn't surprise me. 9,700. Yes, you will pay a pretty penny to get Cooper Kupp in your lineup. But one, I mean, have you seen what he's done this year? I mean, let's just start with that. But also because the 49ers really have struggled in the secondary. I mean, look, Cooper Kupp has torched good secondaries, and the Niners don't have a great secondary by any stretch of the imagination. You know, we talked about how much this game means for both of these teams. So I would think that we're going to see plenty of Stafford to Kupp in this game on Sunday. And, you know, again, I would start with him. In fact, I'm getting confirmation. Kupp is indeed the highest salaried player on DraftKings. So there you go. But I think you'll see plenty of Stafford to Kupp, and it's worth plugging him in and trying to figure out how to build around him in your lineup. Who is the high salary player that we should probably stay away from on Sunday?
Cooper Kupp is the most expensive. Davante Adams is right behind him, and there's no way I would be paying $9,400 to get Davante Adams into my lineup this week. Look, I know it's a good matchup. I know he's Davante Adams, and the Packers are one of the best offenses in football. The Packers are also the only team in football that can gain literally nothing from a win this week. They've already had the one seed locked in. We've been talking about it being the last dance all year. I think they want to get Davante Adams the record. I believe he's like 21 yards away from breaking Jordy Nelson's franchise record. But after that, why risk him? So I think the starters play a little bit in this game. They get Adams that record. He gets to walk off the field and celebrate. And I don't think we see him after that.
Well, to keep that theme going, that's why I said avoid Aaron Rodgers this week, because for all of the reasons that you just listed for Davante Adams, there's absolutely nothing to gain here. I would think, apart from one sports writer who apparently is a bum, I pretty much feel like Aaron Rodgers may have the MVP award locked up at this point. You know, maybe they leave him out there to help Davante Adams get that record. Then they can fist bump. They can walk off the field together. They can call it a day, and they can, you know, sit and sip hot cocoa and, you know, watch Jordan Love and the rest of the Packers go try to get it done this weekend. So 7,800 seems like a lot in terms of salary to plug in for a guy that you don't know how long he's going to play. Because the Packers, like you said, have absolutely nothing to play for in this game except maybe just putting up some stats for a few guys to maybe help some guys hit some contract incentives, and that's about it. So we'll finish this up, though, with the value pick for Sunday. Who you got?
I spoke about Justin Fields earlier in the show, and that's who I'm going to pick here as well. I mean, I just love the matchup, that he's been running more, that he's, you know, his best passing game of the year came against the Minnesota Vikings. So I just think if you're saving a little bit of money, I think Justin Fields at 5,400 brings a good amount of upside this week.
I'm going to go with Carson Wentz, who I know has been up and down this week. And I know you and Patrick Claibon sort of went head to head about his prospects this week on Fantasy Live, but he's playing the Jaguars, and the Colts need a win. I mean, this is an important game for them. They've got to get a win. I do think there's going to be a lot of Jonathan Taylor, but I also think they're going to need Carson Wentz to be effective and throw the football against the Jaguars. So 5,800 is sort of a value there potentially. And again, allowing you maybe to have some flexibility elsewhere in your lineup. So even though he's been, you know, sort of an enigma sometimes, I think this is a week you can sort of plug him into the lineup and count on some things in a good way. So it should be a full, fun weekend of football for that final week. We were talking before about being able to just sit in and kind of be fans. Any game in particular you are especially looking forward to?
I mean, my fan bias is going to come out here. I'm looking forward to the Bills beating the Jets and getting to talk to all my Jet fan friends about how we won the division against them. But besides that, I think the game of the week is Chargers Raiders, pending a Colts loss, because then they could just knee the ball the whole time if they want. I know NBC will love that, but I think that is the clear game of the week. And the one you're going to is a really good one as well.
Yeah, I'm excited about 49ers Rams. I mean, it is a long-standing rivalry. It's funny too, because I remember when I was a kid growing up, the 49ers dominated that rivalry for years and years, and then the Rams got good and sort of took it back. And now, like, these teams kind of go head up, although the Niners have, I think, a 5-game winning streak against the Rams
right now.
Yeah,
Shanahan kind of has had McVay's number.
Yeah, he really has. So this is a big one, because the winning streak is sort of on the line. Both these teams really need this game in order for their playoff situations. So I'm kind of looking forward to that. It's funny, though, you talk about the you know, with the Colts losing and both the Raiders and Chargers having a chance to get in. Brandon Staley says they're not going to, you know, collude for a tie in this one. We'll see. You know, this feels like the season finale of Ted Lasso season one, where all of a sudden they realize, hey, we only need a tie. Like, let's get a tie. But we'll see. So
Marcus, Cooper Kupp needs 171 yards to get to 2,000, first time ever. Do you think you see it happen?
I think he has a big game, but 171
is a lot.
It's a lot, even for Cooper Kupp. It's a lot. So I could see him having a really good game. I'm not sure he gets to 171, but hey, man, it'll be worth watching. So that'll be a whole lot of fun. So for all of you out there, though, who are still playing, I guess if you're still playing seasonal, best of luck to you this week. And for those of you playing DFS, certainly enjoy it. In the meantime, that'll do it for this edition of the NFL Fantasy Football Podcast. Stay happy, safe, and healthy. Do good and live well. And we'll talk to you next week.